This is NHL Audio, presented by XM.
And our one of our insiders, Bob McKenzie. Bob, as always, we appreciate it. Let's get right to it on a very busy day. Sidney Crosby, your reaction to his agreement with the Penguins, 12 years, $104.4 million.
Oh, no real surprise. I mean, we've known for a few weeks now that was the goal of the Pittsburgh Penguins and Sidney Crosby. And I know there's some people saying, how can you give a guy with concussion history he's had over the last 2 years a 12-year deal? And the response to that is, how can you not give Sidney Crosby whatever it is that he wants? And quite frankly, if he were on the open market, he would get a lot more than what he got from the Pittsburgh Penguins. There's no question about that. The maximum salary permissible in the NHL now up around $12 million. You know, it's hard to look at a 12-year deal for $104 million and say he took a hometown discount, but in a manner of speaking, he did. And yet the Penguins are exposed to the point that I wouldn't imagine the contract's insurable. Deals longer than 7 years usually aren't. There's usually an exclusion of any kind of insurance for players that have a bad concussion history. So there's some exposure there, but you know what? The cost of doing business for the Pittsburgh Penguins when you got Sidney Crosby as your marquee player.
Does that, I mean, you know, Bob, from talking to, from your conversations with Ray Shearer or Pat Brisson, I mean, how much does that come into play? I mean, you're saying it is kind of the cost of business, and I hear you because you don't want to risk losing a guy like Sidney Crosby, but how much of a worry is that on either side?
Well, you know what? Hey, I hate to put it in such blunt terms, but you or me could get hit by a bus walking across the street tomorrow. Hope it doesn't happen, EJ. But
yes, I agree.
And that, but you know, that's life.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pitfalls out there, and some of the people that are some of the people that you think are most vulnerable to a season-ending or career-ending injury end up playing for another 10 or 15 years, and some of the guys you'd never think of are suddenly beset with a problem that cuts them down in their prime. So, you know what? It is just, as I say, it couldn't be more straightforward, just the cost of doing business for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
All right, then on the West Coast, Bob, the Kings and Jonathan Quick agree to a 10-year extension, reportedly going to be worth $58 million total, a cap hit of $5.8 million per year. What do you think about this?
Well, it's good from the extent that it's good for him, obviously. It's the perfect time to be a restricted free agent, win the Stanley Cup, and have a Vezina Trophy caliber season, even though he didn't win it, and Conn Smythe and what have you. So great timing for him. And he was able to structure a deal that the Kings could live with that's not going to put them in a position where they feel like they're really hard-pressed to keep any of their core guys like Anze Kopitar or Drew Doughty. The core is set, and it is what it is, and they'll try and do what no other team has done for almost a decade now, for more than a decade now, and that is win a back-to-back cup. But they get that out of the way. I think in the long run, it obviously makes Jonathan Bernier expendable, although I don't think that they want to try and even hold on to him for another year and see where things shake out. But we'll see how that plays out. But it's got to be a great day for Jonathan Quick. He earned it based on the way he played this year, that's for sure.
Bob, what about the strategy in this league, it seems, of getting these deals done with 1 year to go on an existing contract? In other sports, a lot of times they let these deals go until they actually run out. Talk about strategically in this league why there seems to be this ability on both sides to get these deals done before the last year of the existing contract?
Because general managers want cost certainty. They don't want to be exposed in terms of leaving themselves vulnerable to either, if it's a restricted free agent, to an offer sheet, or to losing a player to unrestricted free agency. And in to get the player locked up and do it at a number that makes sense for them in terms of their planning and everything else that goes along with it. And let's not kid anybody either. The collective bargaining agreement expires on September 15th. There's going to be a new system in place. And as a result of that, no one knows what the landscape is going to be. There's been all sorts of talk that, you know, 10 and 12-year deals may not be allowed. So we don't know that, but that's the way everybody feels, is there's an uncertainty there. So if that's the case, and this is the last time that you can bring your cap number way, way down by doing a 10 or a 12 or a 14-year deal, front-end loaded deal with a steeply descending numbers in the final 2 or 3 years, then people want to get in before the rules change.
Hey, Bob, what's the latest on Justin Schultz? I mean, he's been listening to offers. It seems like he's got a short list of teams. What is the latest you're hearing on him? Is there any point in time in the near future we know when he's going to make a decision, whether it be tomorrow, the next day, or is it going to play out for a while?
Yeah, I think the earliest that he could possibly make a decision will be Friday night. I think the teams that are on his short list, and we believe them to be Vancouver, Edmonton, Toronto, Ottawa, and the New York Rangers. Those teams for sure are going through Toronto to meet with Schultz and his representative. Those meetings should be conducted, should be concluded by some point on Friday afternoon. So I would think if he's so disposed, he could make a decision as early as Friday night. Might want to sleep on it for a day or two or three or whatever. So it'll be up to him to make the call after that. But I think he could agree to terms as early as Friday night, maybe Saturday. Can't sign a contract until Sunday, but is well within his rights as an unrestricted free agent to agree to terms with somebody, and it wouldn't surprise me. And I guess he's never actually said what it is or why it is that he didn't want to sign with Anaheim, other than, you know, he wanted to exercise his rights to unrestricted free agency by leaving school and following the terms of the CBA. But when you look at the teams that he's contemplating, it seems pretty clear to me that the intent appears to be to play in Canada. I mean, it's not very often unrestricted free agents line up all the Canadian teams and say, come to Papa. Mm-hmm. And with Vancouver, Edmonton, Toronto, and Ottawa all very much in the running for the player, the emphasis on for this player certainly seems to be from West Kelowna. He played college hockey at University of Wisconsin, drafted by Anaheim. The emphasis for him seems to very much have a Canadian flavor to it.
All right. Hey, Bob, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much. As always, we appreciate it.
Awesome, guys. Thanks.
All right. One of our insiders, Bob McKenzie.
Love what you hear? It's never been easier to listen to the NHL on XM wherever you are. Sign up for a free 14-day trial and get exclusive audio entertainment on the go, at home or in your car. XM. Love to listen.